third chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll go ahead and begin over in verse number 14. As the Lord, through John, addresses the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was in a community that was thriving financially, banking and clothing material, wool. They also were a medical center. So it was a place where people would go. And there in that place would become a hub, could become a hub, for Christianity, for the gospel, for God's purpose. Remember, the timing that God gave, He gave His message to Abraham, but we know as we studied Sunday night that while God was giving us the direction through Abraham, and we have record of it, there were others who God was dealing with and working with whose story we don't have. Parallel societies. Particularly in the book of Genesis, dealing with Melchizedek. So God was doing other things. Just because God's doing a work in our church doesn't mean that's the only church He's working in. He's doing parallel things, and just let God do His thing and get out of the way. Stop trying to tell everybody, now look, I'd be happy if everybody comes to church here. That'd be fine with me. But I've learned over the years that this church is not for everybody, and everybody's not for this church. God has a place for you. And so if you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. We want you to come back. We want you to join. If God leads you in your heart to join. And we're together to serve God and to learn by God. But I understand that not everybody is going to like this church. I mean, I don't know how they could not like the preacher, but the church. I could. But honestly, some people will say, well, his preaching, he tells jokes that are not funny. He tells stories that don't interest me. And, you know, he just preaches the Bible, which is my desire. It's not a psychology class. It's not a counseling course. It's the Word of God. But it's still not going to suit everybody. So I understand that. But just because somebody doesn't join this church doesn't mean they're out of God's will. And we have to understand that. God is doing other things in other places. Now, particularly here in Revelation 3, God is dealing with the Laodicean church. The letter that He gave for John to deliver for the church, to the pastor, look at what it says there in verse number 14, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. That angel, that's the pastor. It's the messenger of the church. He's the one that is the bishop, the overseer, the angel of the church. And it was to be delivered to him to deliver to the church. But God was doing other things, not just in Laodicea. That church had become kind of carnal. In verse number 15, God says, well, let's just work in verse 14. The angel of the church of the Laodiceans writes, these things saith the Amen. Isn't that interesting? The Amen. The Amen, that means that settles it. Talking about God. God settles it. He settled our salvation. How many of you think... Don't raise your hand, please. Just let me get through what I'm saying. How many of you think you need to be baptized to get to heaven? No, you don't. You need to be born again through Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the Amen. He settled it. He died on that cross, and that blood, perfect blood, will wash our sins away when we trust Him. It'll clean the record. He'll write our name in the book of life. And that settles it. He's the Amen. We don't need anymore. How many of you think when you join the church, it's going to help you get to heaven? It's not. Getting baptized doesn't help you. Giving to the church doesn't help you. Being a good person doesn't help you get to heaven. I think everybody ought to be a good person. I think everybody ought to be kind and charitable and giving and loving and thoughtful. But it won't help you get to heaven. There's one way to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way. That's it. So when you realize you are a sinner, and all of us are, and you realize that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you understand that Jesus died for you, and you reach out from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I am a sinner. And I believe Jesus died for me. And I give my life to you, God, and ask you to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He will save you. Right then. Do I think you ought to get baptized? Yes, but it won't help you get saved. Do I think you ought to go to church? Yes, but it won't help you get saved. Do I think we ought to do all of those things? Read the Bible, give to the Lord, be kind, be generous, be charitable. All, I think you ought to do all that stuff. But it won't help you get saved. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way. The Amen, the final word, the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to even nod your head. I'm going to close my eyes so I can't see it if you acknowledge it. But how many of you did something this week and you wish God had not have seen that? Oh, you said something this week and you wish God had not heard that. But you know what the Bible says? I know. Can't hide it. You can try, but you can't hide it. I know thy works. Now, I do want you to understand that he's talking about more here than just the bad things you've done or the bad things you said or the good things you've done or the good things you said. He's talking about a pattern. He says that thou art neither cold nor hot. What God has recognized about the church of the Laodiceans is their pattern of service, their pattern of activity, their pattern of ministry. You know, you think about a church and you say, well, it's summertime. We're going to take the kids. We're going to have a Bible school, and that's going to be great. And we're going to have take them all to camp, and that's going to be great. And we're going to go to the state assembly, and that's going to be great. And then summer's over. Are we just going to wait till summer again to do anything for our children? You're just going to wait till summer again to do anything fun with the kids? All right, y'all come to Sunday school. And you know what? Some kids learn that. And you know what they do? They come to church. In the summer. Because that's when it's fun. But we have to have a pattern, and we have to take the kids out every month, and we have to, you know, go bowling or go skating or go fishing. Something. Something to get them out, get them together outside of the classroom, outside of the church house. And that's great. You know, so we have these activities, and that's just one example. Now let me pick on another one. And men, are we sweet all the time? I mean, it's almost Valentine's Day, so a lot of men went to Walmart about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they saw that it was about to be Valentine's Day, and they started being nice again. And they started being sweethearts again. And then February the 15th, I mean, it might not go all the way the 15th, but probably by the 17th, they're just back in their old routine. And then it'll come your anniversary, and all of a sudden you'll start planning for your anniversary. You're going to be sweet and nice and romantic again. And then that'll be over, and it'll go back to the other way. No pointing fingers now. And then it'll be her birthday, and then it'll be the holidays. And so, you know, so you're sweet and you're nice and you're thoughtful, only like this right here. Ooh, I'm really sweet. Oh, I don't really care. Right? I, for one, don't think they should have put the Super Bowl so close to Valentine's Day. I think you ought to have to wait a little while. But anyway, and by the way, I don't care anything about the Super Bowl anyway. You look at a relationship like that, and how many of you ladies would say, without it making accusation, you say, you know what, it would be nice if my sweetheart was a sweetheart all the time. If he was kind and loving and thoughtful and romantic, goes both ways. Somebody just called him out. Don't went to meddling now. But anyway, here's the point. The point is this, is God sees an inconsistency in the church at Laodicea. He says, well, it's Easter time and everybody goes to church. And then it's not. And then it's Mother's Day and everybody goes to church. Two biggest attendance of the year. Mother's Day and Easter Sunday. And then everybody gets busy and there's something else to do. I should have sung excuses today. Right? Always something else to do instead of going to church. And by the way, we're not just talking about going to church. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about being a Christian. All those things we've mentioned, I won't just keep labeling them, but being a good and righteous Christian, a holy person, loving and generous and thoughtful, all that. Not just at Easter, Mother's Day, revival time, Christmas. You see, some people, it's not even like that. It's like this. Sunday, all of a sudden, we're holy. Woo! Praise the Lord. And then Monday, we're back in the world. By the way, some people don't even wait till Monday. Sunday at noon, they're done. Preacher better quit because I'm getting worldly again. And I say it with a little bit of humor, but you know it's true. The sad thing is, people think that the fulfillment of their salvation, the fulfillment of the righteous duty, is to come to church. This is not a fulfillment. You see, it's like the idea of eating to live instead of living to eat. Anybody relate to that? How many of y'all love to eat? It's good, isn't it? But you know, we're not supposed to live to eat. If you live to eat, it's unhealthy. But if you just eat what you need to live, that's healthy. I'm not saying live for Sunday. I'm not saying you live to come to church. I'm saying you come to church to carry you through. I need to be built up. I need to be strengthened. I need to be taught. I need to be preached up and coached up and inspired and fellowshipped. I need to get all that on Sunday so that when I go back out into the world Sunday afternoon and Monday and I'm ministering and I'm trying to be a good Christian, I'm trying to be a good influence and I'm trying to reach people with the gospel, that I've got all the tools I need. And I've been prayed up and prayed over so that I can do all those things. I'll do all those things so I can come in here on Sunday and brag about them. I just don't believe in that. The pattern of service, a pattern of ministry, a pattern of effort, a pattern of activity. I know thy works. Not only that, I know your spirit, your attitude, your enthusiasm, your diligence. I know thy works. Y'all know anybody like that? How about this? How about when you work out? Y'all ever get excited about exercise? Me neither. But every once in a while, I'll get a little motivated and I'll go in there and I'll lift some weights or maybe get on the treadmill and run or get on the elliptical and all that kind of stuff. And so I'll exercise and and then my bones and my muscles are hurting. I'll say, that's no good for you. It can't be good for you if it makes you hurt. Y'all ever do that? Don't raise your hand, but I just wonder if anybody in this room went out and bought a gym membership at the beginning of the year. I think y'all are wiser than that, and you know you weren't going to use it anyway. Look, being healthy, and I'm kind of poking a little fun, but being healthy is a good thing, and exercising is a good thing, and eating right is a good thing, and going to church is a good thing. But what the Lord is addressing through John to the church at Laodicea is, y'all are like up and down, up and down, up and down. You're not consistent. And if there's one thing I preach, it's balance. It's consistency. It's having the big picture in mind. Being able to look not just at what's going on today, but how that's going to affect the future. We have to be big picture thinkers. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. You're inconsistent. There's no pattern. There's no system. And God says, choose. Are you going to do this or not? Are you going to live for the Lord or not? But here's the problem. You know, I remember a fellow, he invited somebody to church. And man, he just bragged on what a great church it was and how they needed to come to church. He really made an impression on them. He was at the DMV telling them what a great church we had on Friday and how they needed to come. And then on Sunday, guess what they did? They came to church. And he wasn't there. Now look, I know things happen. I know we miss church and stuff. But he, you know why he wasn't at church? Because he didn't believe his own words. He was out telling everybody what a great church it was. But in his heart, he didn't really believe it because he chose to just lay out. He didn't have a medical emergency. He didn't get called into work. He didn't have a family need. He flat out was lazy and didn't go to church. Now you tell me, did he really believe it was such a great church and would really impact your life? And man, the Lord just has control and the Holy Spirit is there and the anointing's there. And if you go, you'll feel it. How about that? Hot, cold, inconsistent. No consistency, no pattern, no system. Are you going to do it or no? See, our activity reflects our enthusiasm. Again, enthusiasm in theos, that's God is in it. Enthusiasm, is God in it or not? Are we just here as a social club, a country club? Are we just here because we're friends? Or what's it all about? It's not just a get-together. You want to have a get-together, we'll do a fish fry. You want to have a get-together, we'll do a barbecue. If it's just about patting each other on the back, we'll go fishing. Well, when we come in here, it's to learn God's Word. It's to be built up in God's Word. It's to be inspired and challenged to do God's work. Our activity reflects our enthusiasm. It reflects our heart, our interest, our passion, our concern. And God said, I know thy works. You say, well, Pastor, he said, I know thy works. But you can tell by the things that he says, he's talking about their pattern. He's talking about their attitude. He's talking about their inconsistency. You see, another thing that we know about Laodicea is they got their water piped in, if you will. Not pipes like we have pipes, but back in those days, like a trough. And that trough came all the way from the hot springs down into the city. Wouldn't that be nice to have hot springs? Let's say we have hot springs. Where are we going to put those hot springs? Let's say we're going to put those hot springs at the Capitol building. Those hot springs come out of that Capitol building and they come down here in an open trough. You tell me what the temperature of that water is going to be by the time it reaches us. You know, I don't think it's going to be cold like the good cold water we have in Jefferson County. I think it's going to be tepid. It's going to be lukewarm. It's not going to be hot, and it's not going to be cold. Because I'll take either one. If I want something hot to drink, then I'll have hot. And if I want something cold to drink, I'll have cold. But I don't like to drink something that's just kind of in between. Lukewarm. You know what God said? Because you're lukewarm, verse 16, and neither cold nor hot. I think it's interesting that God says either do it or don't do it. God's desire is not for us to be cold, but His desire is also not for us to be lukewarm. And He says, I would rather you choose not to do it than to say you're going to and not. And say you're going to and not. It's a bad reputation. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Anybody ever do that? Go to drink something and it wasn't what you thought it was? And or the wrong temperature or whatever? Here's the thing. It's not that you don't care at all. You just don't care enough to commit your life to it. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough to hear. It's not that you don't care. You just don't care enough to get involved. I mean, you think it's a good idea and you think it ought to be done. You just don't care enough to do it. And when it comes to God's work, it's not that you're not interested. It's just that you figure it's going to happen whether you do it or not. And I got news for you. It reaches a point where it won't unless you do. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Boy, that's great, isn't it? It's good to have everything. You ever just sit back and look around and say, God is so good to me. I have such a great life. Anybody ever do that? God has really blessed me. What a wonderful life I've got. But God's, and I love America, and I thank God for our country, and I'm glad that we are where we are. I wish the factions would stop being all divided and fighting against each other. But America is the greatest place in the world. If I didn't believe it, I'd live somewhere else. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increased and have need of nothing. Did y'all keep reading the last part of that verse when I quit? He said, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think that what you do is enough. You consider yourself to be a successful Christian. You say, I'm rich because I'm born again. Man, I'm going to heaven. I got everything I need. You say, let's see the second thing. I'm increased. Why? Well, I've got the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people in the world don't have the Word of God. So I've got the Word of God. So man, I'm increased. I've got everything I need. I got my salvation and I got the Word of God. And have need of nothing. Man, what more could we need? We live in a great country. We have a great church. What more could we need? But he said, what you don't realize is that you're poor and wretched and blind and naked. You think you got it all, and the truth is you don't know how to use what you got. You see, it's not that we don't have it. I was on my way back from Taylor the other night. I'd been down there doing grief counseling with the fire department, and on my way back, I'd come into Jefferson County, and one of the fire chiefs called me from Wasissa and said, what do y'all need? I said, what do we need for what? He said, that fire. I said, what fire? I didn't have my radio on. And he told me what the fire was, and I called dispatch and figured out what I needed. Well, I was in my pickup truck, and I didn't have any of my fire gear with me. It was all back at the station. But see, if I'd have left from right where I was, I could have cut up salt and got to Asheville and been right there. But there was one problem. You see, I know that this skin burns in fire. And I knew if I went without my equipment, I could get there, but I would be limited in what I could do. Let me tell you something. The problem is not that we don't have the Word of God. The problem is not that we don't have a great church. The problem is not that we've been cut off from our access to the throne of God where we can pray. The problem is not what we don't have. The problem is what we don't use. The problem is that we don't apply it. You see, I'm not going to run into a burning building without the right equipment on. People say, oh, it's so brave. It's not really. You just have to be trained. And you have to have the right equipment and a little bit crazy. And so the things that we do because we're trained. We do it because we have the right equipment. Look, I'm not going to go out there and try to win people to Jesus unless I have the right equipment. I'm not going to go out there and try to solve people's problems unless I have the right equipment. But having the Word of God, I have all the answers. When I go to a family whose loved one is dying and I show up there and they want some direction and they want some counseling, you see, I have the answers. And that answer is Jesus. The problem with the Laodiceans is not that they didn't have access. The problem is that they would use it on Sunday and leave it at home on Monday. The problem is they would be interested on Christmas and on Easter, but they weren't interested the rest of the year. Look, I don't mind you going on vacation, but be a Christian on vacation. It's not a problem for us to take time off. I believe in it. In fact, I plan to have some soon. But be a Christian no matter where you go. Brother Greg was here last week and he asked, "Can I have one of these shirts?" The t-shirts are up here. "Yeah, man." He said, "Well, I know it's not anywhere around your church, and I know those people down there don't know your church." And I said, "It doesn't matter. I've got pictures of people wearing that shirt at the Grand Canyon. Not even members of this church, but it's the message. It's not the church that's on the front, it's the message that's on the back. Everywhere I go, I know that happens to you too. People love the message. Why? Because it's the gospel message. The message of hope, love, and forgiveness." Three things. Let me just tell you. Some of you hadn't heard it before, so I'll say it. Three things everybody needs in this life in order to thrive, and that's hope and love and forgiveness. It's forgiveness for yesterday, love for today, and hope for tomorrow. Everybody needs that in order to thrive. If you don't have one of those three, you are not thriving. If you have forgiveness for yesterday and love for today, but no hope for tomorrow, you can't thrive. If you have hope for tomorrow and forgiveness for yesterday, but don't feel the love today, you can't thrive. And if you have hope for tomorrow and love for today, but the weight of yesterday's burdens is still weighing you down, you can't thrive. You see, the message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, is one of hope and love and forgiveness. He says you don't even realize the state you're in. Without a biblical mindset, we can't see ourselves as God does. We can't see our current condition and we can't see our potential. Laodicea was known for a medical eye salve. And so he uses the term here that they can't see themselves as God sees them. They think everything's fine, but the reality is it's not. The reality is that they're confused. They can't see properly because they don't have the right mindset, the right vision. In verse 17, he says, "Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." "And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." You see what he's saying there in verse number 19 is get after it. God says, "I would rather you be cold and completely out of the game, or hot and completely in the game, than to be in the middle somewhere." It's hard to read chapter 3 without reading verse 20, isn't it? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you here this morning? You haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior? I stand at the door and knock. Are you here this morning? You realize you're backslidden and out of God's will? Inconsistent? It's not that you don't care. You just don't care enough to be involved. Y'all ever wait for somebody? I remember when Mom would be working late and it'd be Wednesday night. We'd go to church and she'd say, "I'm on my way." Mom runs late. She's famous for being late. In fact, her nickname is Turtle. Or Pokey. She is always late. Well, we were waiting. You know, church at 7:30 back then at that church. And so we'd wait for her and it'd be getting late. So, you just ever look out the window. Y'all ever do that? Look out the window. "You're supposed to be here. Where are you?" Stand out on the porch and wait. Brother Ronnie does that to me on Wednesday night. Stands outside waiting for me. And you know, sometimes my mom lived about 5 miles down the road next to us at a farm. And she'd drive all the way up to the highway and across. And then we were the next road on the left. And she'd say, "I'm on my way." We'd look out the window. She wasn't there. We'd go out on the porch. She wasn't there. We'd go down and look out down the road. She wasn't there. Time she'd get there, you know where we'd be most of the time? At the stop sign at the end. Mile up the road waiting for her so we'd go to church. We wanted to go to church. And she, and you know, the time you get all the way there, well, you know, it's so late now. If we go, we're going to be late. And we don't want to walk in church late. And we'd go all the way up there. You know what the Lord says in verse 20? He said, I'm at the door waiting for you. You ever go to pick somebody up and they're not ready? Anybody ever do that? Don't point fingers. It's not nice. And you're waiting and you're waiting. The Lord says, I'm waiting. I want you to be on fire for me. I want you to get in the game. I want you to get into the ministry and do something fantastic. God says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father. He that hath an ear, hear. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you care enough? You say, well, I think it's important to take care of these older people in Monticello that nobody take care of them or they're short on money. Well, do you care enough to get involved? Well, I care about the children's ministry and the kids that aren't coming to church, and I care about the children. Well, do you care enough to get involved? Well, I care about the building project. Well, do you care enough to get involved? I care about our missions. Do you care enough to get involved? I care about my neighbors and my co-workers. Do you care enough to get involved? They called the other night. Chief called and said, my co-worker had died 20-some years old. And the first thing I thought of, did I say enough? Did I say enough to influence him for Jesus? Was I bold? I don't remember. I know that I worked with him. I know that we had conversations. But I can't put my finger on the time when I looked at him and said to him, I say it in general all the time around everybody at work. Salvation, eternity, Jesus. I talk about all that stuff. But did I ever say to him, are you born again? I don't know. I might have. I don't know. But I guess that'll bother me now. Until I get there. You see, there was no idea that he was going to die that night. It wasn't line of duty. But he's gone. And it doesn't matter how, and it doesn't matter why, because it doesn't change the fact that he's gone. I care, but did I care enough? He's not the first person that has died at a young age, and I thought, well, I wonder if the short things that I had to say in the time that we had together, I wonder if I said enough. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, we have got to care enough. Because people die without Jesus. And when they die without Jesus, they go to hell. I wish I could have the victory today to say, no doubt in my mind, that boy got saved. We better pick it up and get to work. Because God says this hot and cold stuff is not going to cut it. Let's stand.